Matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. When you think of the term mentor, what comes to mind? Most people may think of organizations like Big Brothers or Big Sisters. Well, you wouldn't be wrong, but there's so much more to mentoring, not only for the mentor, but also for the mentee. Well, tonight, we're talking about youth and adult mentoring. My guests are Diane Booker, Executive Director of the U.S. Dream Academy, and Karen Alston, Founder and CEO of the Spectrum Circle. If you have questions, if you have comments about mentoring, give us a call. Lines are open right now at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Diane, Karen, thank you both for joining the conversation.
Great to be here.
Okay.
Good evening. It's great to be here.
Let me start with you, Diane, and then Karen, I'd like for you to chime in as well, because as I said, the term mentor means different things to different people. Diane, give me a working definition of the term mentor from your perspective.
From my perspective, a mentor really is a role model, a guide, a friend. At the U.S. Dream Academy, where we provide mentoring for young people, they tend to be people who help a young person see themselves very differently in the future and then help to provide guidance and steps to get there.
Mm-hmm. Karen, your definition.
So for me, mentorship is more of a reciprocal relationship. And my world, a lot of it's adult to adult mentoring, and so it's an opportunity to learn and share and guide each other.
Mm-hmm. Diane, when you're talking about young people, you said the mentors that you work with at the U.S. Dream Academy help young people see themselves differently. Differently from what?
Well, in the work that we do, we're working with young people who have often been impacted by trauma. And sometimes when kids experience trauma, it's hard for them to dream about their future in positive ways. And so the mentoring that we provide helps young people to be in a positive, caring relationship, one that's outside of their family, because I'm not presuming, you know, they have positive relationships within their family. But it's really important. The research and the practice shows us that having at least one person outside of your family who you can trust, who you have a caring relationship with, can bring healing and also really help young people have a sense of belonging and even a new and renewed perspective about school and how school, you know, impacts their future. So that's a key aspect of our mentoring, to help kids who have experienced trauma in their healing process and in being able to dream about their future.
What age group are we talking about here?
So our program works with kids third grade through high school. The majority of our kids are middle and elementary kids. And in high school, we really are looking at the mentoring. We do both peer mentoring as well as group mentoring, which high school students seem to respond a little better to.
Mm. How are these mentors selected? Do the young people do it? Do the mentors do the selecting? And what kind of skills might a mentor need when working with the Dream Academy?
Yeah, it's a great question, because a lot of times people feel like they have to be already very accomplished in their career or have a special set of skills. And it really, the main aspect we're looking for when we're screening mentors is empathy. You do have to be able to have a high degree of empathy. But we provide a lot of training and support to mentors. Sometimes they're college students. Sometimes they are professionals who have achieved a lot. Sometimes they are you know, a parent. We've had stay-at-home moms who wanted to give back to their community. So it can look very different. Empathy is a key skill. The ability and willingness to engage in training and to be able to engage in a relationship with a young person in what we call developmental relationships, where it is not kind of our typical adult-child relationship where the adult says and the child does. You know, this is very much, even as Karen described earlier, reciprocal relationship. We call it one of the elements of the developmental relationships is share power. And so sometimes adults aren't used to that. And so that is also part of what we help them to do when they come into relationship with young people, understanding that there is a lot they're going to learn and grow from. And so they do have to come with an open mind about the adult and child relationship.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about mentoring, not only mentoring for young people, but also mentoring for adult women. What does it mean to be a mentor? What does it mean to be a mentee? And all of the things that go into that. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Karen, when you're talking about adult mentoring of women, very, very different from what's happening at the U.S. Dream Academy. Give me an example of how that works in the work that you do.
So, yes, in my world, adult mentoring is usually started in the career-based. So, where younger women are seeking out women who have more experience, to help guide them, help navigate them as they're trying to figure out the change from college or grad school into their careers. There's also a lot of mentoring across fields. If someone is working in hospitality and they want to get involved in tech or they want to get into the nonprofit space, they're looking for someone that can help guide them in making those decisions. And also, as we know, for women in this country, being in the workforce is a challenge. You know, we still navigate the glass ceiling. We still navigate a lot of biases. And so therefore, having someone that can help explain some of the challenges, the day-to-day relationships, the nuances that happen in the workplace and in your personal life and or with your family is needed. And so one of the things that I have been really fortunate to do throughout my career is mentor women. And I've also benefited from amazing mentors who helped me in order to navigate the challenges of coming from school, being in the workplace, dealing in environments where I was very different and or one of. And so without those women, I would not be where I am today.
So how does an adult mentor choose the mentee, or does the mentee choose the mentor? It sounds kind of like a Obi-Wan Luke Skywalker kind of thing.
And in some ways it is, because it happens both ways. There can be a truly formal request where a young person, you know, sees someone on a panel or they work with someone or they've been following their career and or they see them on LinkedIn and they send, you know, a request and ask for, you know, a 15-minute conversation. And then usually it's, hey, you know, I'm looking for a mentor. So that can sort of be the formal path. And then there's an informal path in that relationships are built, whether it's through a professional organization or through a sisterhood organization or through some type of social setting where a woman will say, you know, you're going to need some guidance as you take this new job or you embark on this journey in your career, and I want to mentor you. So it does happen both ways, and in some ways it can be a little bit and I appreciate the Star Wars reference, Obi-Wan moment, and, you know, it does happen both ways, but it is that symbiotic relationship that ebbs and flows as the person progresses in their career.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about mentoring, not only young people, but also adult women mentoring. What goes into it? How is that done? If you have a comment or a question, give us a call. So, Diane, often, and we've had this discussion on this program for many years, we often have mentors who are willing to jump in with both feet to help a young person. And we have plenty of mentees who need the help. And those mentees have parents who are more than happy to get the assistance and the guidance of a mentor. But a lot of times nobody asks the young person. And young people can be quirky sometimes. I don't want to sit around with him or her and talk to him or her about seeing my life differently. I just want to play video games. How difficult is it to get a young person to become involved with a mentor? They may not think they need the help that the parents or the Diane Bookers of the world think they may need.
And so it kind of depends on the age. So our elementary kids are really excited about getting a mentor. And we don't position mentor as you need a mentor because you have a problem per se. It is more about a friendship with a caring adult. So our elementary kids are usually very excited about it. And we do engage our young people around the type of mentor they're looking for. So we do find out from our kids, what are you passionate about? What's your dream for your future? And then we try to help match a mentor that may have a similar interest or be in a similar career or similar background. And for our middle school kids, they still are excited about having a mentor, but it's a little bit different. It is a bit more focused on a specific aspect or area of their life, getting ready for high school or thinking about college or a particular career. And when you get into high school, I think it's where you begin to see more of the resistance to a mentor, and depending on how mentoring has been positioned for a high school student. We see peer mentoring work a lot with high school students and group mentoring. And high school is absolutely when you need it, because it's when young people start to shut down and they're not talking and they're hiding feelings of shame. So it's an area in place where they need it the most. I shouldn't say the most, but they need it in a different way. And often they don't get it because they're going through adolescence and they're sometimes pulling back and away from adults.
Mm-hmm. Are you currently accepting mentors and mentees? And if so, how might someone get involved? How might a parent get their child involved?
Yeah, absolutely. The best way is to go to our website, which is usdreamacademy.org. And right on that site, you can sign up to be a mentor. You can sign your kid up to get a mentor. Sometimes it's a little bit of a wait list. So we ask for patience, but we get back to you right away. But we're always recruiting mentors. And so that we don't have a wait list, so that when a student says they want a mentor, we can match them, pretty much right away. And it's really important to be able to respond to young people quickly. But usdreamacademy.org, and there's lots of great information there about mentoring, and really easy to just send us your information, and one of our staff people will get back to you very quickly to find out how you want to get involved.
And for those women who want to participate in the Spectrum Circle, Karen, how might they do the same?
So they can visit our website, www.thespectrumcircle.com, and request more information, or they can reach out to me on LinkedIn and share what it is they're looking for. And if there's someone in our network, I will do a warm introduction.
Hmm. Warm introduction. Always important. No cold handshakes.
Can I just put a plug in for the Spectrum Circle? I know Karen and the Spectrum Circle. She creates such a beautiful place of belonging and inclusion for women. And it's really, I'm a more mature, quote unquote, mature adult woman, and it's been a great experience for me to even get mentoring and support from the women in the group that she's brought together.
Well, you know, mentoring knows no boundaries when it comes to age or experience. I'll make sure that both of those links are posted on our website on whur.com after 8:30, as always. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm. That's on WHUR. We're going to be taking your phone calls if you have a comment or question about mentoring, getting your child involved, you getting involved, or getting yourself involved as an adult. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we're talking about youth and adult mentoring. My guests are Diane Booker, Executive Director of the U.S. Dream Academy, and Karen Alston, Founder and CEO of the Spectrum Circle. The U.S. Dream Academy is a program, an organization that helps with the mentoring of young people, the Spectrum Circle, an organization that deals with adult mentoring. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Diane, who was your first mentor? Give me the Cliff Notes version of that. How old were you? Who was this person? What did they do?
Wow, that's a great question. What I would call my first informal mentor really was a teacher. So we weren't matched in a relationship, but it was a teacher who would take extra time with me to, go over things in class. I went to a predominantly white school, and this was a black teacher. And my first black teacher, and I think I was in the seventh grade at the time when I had a first black teacher. And the role that this teacher played in my life to be able to help me feel more like I belonged, would answer questions, would just sort of be a listening ear when I needed it. And the fact that this teacher looked like me also gave me a greater sense of inclusion in the space that I was in.
Mm-hmm. Same question for you, Karen.
So first of all, thank you for asking me this question because I love answering it. And I have not shared this in years. So I'm excited to share that story. I was a sophomore at Howard University in the School of Business, and a beautiful, educated, amazing woman walked into my commercial banking class by the name of Donna Chapman Wilson. And she worked at this company called JP Morgan that I had never heard of. And she was so impressive on my sophomore mind. And I immediately asked for her card and sent her a letter that ages me of when I came out of Howard. And she was my mentor and instrumental in getting me into JP Morgan coming out of Howard University. And then when I got to JP Morgan, she was instrumental in my career in helping me to navigate leaving the world of Howard and going to Wall Street and being around people who were completely different and had extremely different paths into JP Morgan than I did. It was a huge culture shock for me. And without her, I would have failed. So she was so instrumental in my career, and I owe her everything from helping me from a sophomore to transition to working on Wall Street.
You know, my first mentor was when I was a junior at Morgan State, a guy by the name of Lawrence Dean Faulkner. They used to call him Long, Tall, Lean Larry Dean. He went to Fisk, but he was the news director at the radio station on campus, and he was really one of the first black broadcasters in this country when, you know, in the early days of radio news back in the, you know, 40s and 50s, one of the things that was so interesting about him was that he was extremely fair-skinned and could have, as was the case for many African-Americans in his younger days, he could have passed for white, but chose not to. And instead, after a long broadcasting career, came to Morgan State and helped mentor me and a lot of other broadcasters, not only in radio, but, you know, television. But, you know, one of the things, and this is, you know, specifically for you, Karen, but if you have a comment, Diane, you're certainly welcome to do so. One of the things that Larry always impressed upon me was that once you achieve a certain level of career success, that you give back. We didn't call it giving back at the time. He just said, "I'm charging you with the responsibility of doing for others what I have done for you." And I think in the case of your first mentor, you know, Karen, I would imagine you two had conversations like that. Am I off base there?
No, and it impacts me today, you know, in everything that I do, even in the Spectrum Circle. When I came up with the idea of the Spectrum Circle, I realized how fortunate I had been throughout my career to have so many amazing women who mentored me. And I wanted every woman to be able to have access or to have some knowledge of that. And so that was the catalyst for creating it, to create more spaces for women to learn and share with each other. And that point about your mentor, that when you get to a level of success and when you've been able to navigate and move up the ranks in whatever your career or place of business or area that you have been able to achieve, that you have a pipeline of people that will do better than you one day in their careers.
Mm-hmm. Your thoughts about that, Diane?
Yeah, you know, it's something that we really promote. And even when we're mentoring our young people, we are talking to them always about how and what they want to give back to their community. You know, as a professional woman, I've also had some incredible mentors. One of those today is Thank Your Mentor Day. So want to call her out by name, Susan Taylor, the former editor-in-chief of Essence magazine, who was a mentor to a lot of us from afar by her magazine, but then professionally had an opportunity to work with her for a number of years. And her leadership as a black woman in the space that she's in, you know, was just such an incredible example. And she especially drilled into me, too, like how we give back and how we support others. I have several mentees that have come both out of US Dream Academy and other places in the nonprofit, other women who want to be executive directors. And it's just a real joy. It is a real joy to be able to give back some of the wisdom and the time and the care and concern that many other women and men have poured into me throughout my professional career.
One of the most important things, and I think this is very, very critical, Diane, when we are dealing with children in this day and age, how do you, in your organization, assure the safety and security of the children that you're matching with the mentors? Because every parent wants to make sure that their child is not only getting the kind of help and guidance that they need, but that the children are also safe.
Such a great question, right? Because not every adult is coming with good intention.
Right.
And so we do a pretty extensive screening process, which includes a background check, state and federal. We do interviews. You have to give some references. It's like you're going for a high security job. Because we that is so important to us that we, when we match two strangers together, we need to know that we're putting, an able, stable, sane adult with one of our young people. We also provide supervision. So we've got a mentor coordinators who kind of do case management and support. We engage the parent and also ask the parent for support. Hey, you also can help us watch this mentoring relationship. And if you hear certain things, so we give them tips. And so we kind of surround the kid with a staff person, with their own parent, and we do a lot of training and support with their mentors. So we've got a lot of contact. They don't just meet and then go off and, do their own thing.
Mm-hmm. Always important. And how do you do the matching, Karen, with the adult mentors? Is that a much more easy process than perhaps it may be with young people?
Yeah. It is an easy process, and I do a lot of referrals. Women ask me all the time, that they're searching for a mentor or someone in a particular field, and I'm fortunate, to know a lot of women in different fields, and I'll suggest, maybe reach out to this person, or sometimes I'll challenge the person who's asking and say, well, what have you done to find a mentor? One is not just going to appear, out of the sky and show up on your doorstep. You also have to take some steps to find a mentor, and in life, many times you may need more than one. And so, you might need someone that works in your company or in your field, and maybe someone who's in the position that you see yourself in 10, 20 years from now. So I'm always challenging younger women to stretch themselves and begin to ask for what they believe they need.
What should an adult mentee expect of their adult mentor? And again, when it comes to looking at the definitions, it's broad, but sometimes I would imagine these relationships can be very, very deep and long lasting, and in other cases not so much and finite. What do you say, Karen?
So it's a bit of both. I have mentors that I've had, for 20 years that are still mentors. They help guide and stretch me. So the relationship should be based on trust and friendship. It has to be based there. And then there's some stretching. It should be uncomfortable. There should be some check-ins. There should be some, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, almost like a performance appraisal. Well, did you do it? What's in the way? What's challenging you? What do you need to overcome? There's honesty, because as I shared earlier, we live in the United States, and, women face biases, glass ceilings, all types of challenges in the workplace. And sadly, the world is not fair, as we all know it. It is not fair. So you need someone that can be honest and help explain how you navigate certain things and what to prepare yourself for as you step into the workplace. Mm-hmm. And how to also speak truth to power. So I think a great mentor would be someone that can share not only their experiences, but also help in stretching that person. But then the other side, and Diane knows this, I share this all the time, what's so great about Gen Z and millennials is that they're pushing the envelope in the way that the boomers and Gen X had not seen.
Give me an example.
There's some research. So I Diane knows this, I share this with her. I learned so much from the Gen Z generation. They look at the world very differently and I'm a Gen Xer, than myself or my mom's generation, who's a boomer. You know, for many of us, we went to work, you know, and we were going to work 20, 30 years, you know, at it. They don't think that way. They're much more, you know, ready to go to different places. They're much more idealistic in some ways, and they speak truth to power. And I love that about this generation. They see something unfair. They see something they don't agree with. They speak out about it. And so there's this learning that's happening. The other thing, too, with this younger generation, they are willing to work in multiple spaces. Like I said, my generation, Gen X, you went to school, you got a job, and you worked that job for X amount of years. Maybe you went someplace else. But you sort of had that path of working to retirement. And the Gen Z, they don't think of it that way. They think of it that they're going to work forever, and how many different things do they need to do to get to their goals and whatever those goals are. So I've been really impressed with some of the young women that I have met who have asked for my mentorship, and just how driven and how clear, their level of clarity. I did not have that level of clarity at that age.
What do you do, Diane, when the mentee is not cooperative with the mentor, in assuming, of course, that, you know, there's nothing untoward happening? But again, with young people, inevitably, there may be conflict.
Yeah. And so we train our mentors, and really it's kind of a training for all of us around developmental relationships, which starts with express care. Express care provides support, challenge growth, share power, and expand opportunities. And often there will be times when a mentee maybe stops showing up, or is coming but is not really engaging. Or, you know, giving you a little bit of lip here and there. And where we really help to support our mentors is really in this challenging growth area. It's not a reason to walk away from your mentoring. Sometimes mentors get frustrated, right? You're in a relationship, and we're going to work through that relationship with some conflict resolution skills, with talking. Maybe it's expressing care. What we generally find is that a young person is dealing with some deep pain or some confusion, and it's showing up as, you know, an attitude or a lack of attendance. And so those things actually give us a little bit of insight and help us to say, okay, we're not just going to write you off. We understand you are dealing with something. We're going to try to find ways to get through to that. And so building a trusting, caring relationship at the outset allows us to then work through the trouble spots when they show up, right? It's hard to build trust with somebody once they're, you know, in a challenging spot. We do that at the beginning, and we do that by starting with expressing care and what that, you know, how that looks and feels, so the young person knows this is a safe place I can come to talk.
So what about the mentor? What kind of expectations should they have in dealing with a young person, Diane? Because there's no guarantee that they will enter into the mentor-mentee relationship with a pristine thought process.
Yeah, great question. So one, mentor should come, sometimes people come with this idea that they're going to help, quote unquote, save a kid.
Yeah, save the world. Yeah, I was just thinking, right? About to say the same thing. Yeah.
Right. We're not looking for saviors here. We're looking for people who are willing to be in a reciprocal relationship of building trust. And so mentors should expect that that it'll be a fun relationship, but there will be times when it might get you know, a little rocky, when you might not understand your mentee's perspective. You may not understand your mentee's choice. They may have met a bad choice. And so much of this is about learning to understand each other as people, your backgrounds, your communities you've come from, you know, the family makeup. And we do a lot of relationship building at the front end. I mean, and we do something called an identity wheel. And young, the mentor and the mentee are really kind of deeply understanding each other in their identities, which we have found really helps to open up and build a relationship. Because in a lot of ways, in a formal mentoring relationship, like in a program, we are kind of constructing the relationship, right? We're bringing two strangers together, and then they're meeting an hour a week, which is also an expectation of the mentor that you meet, you know, an hour a week. And we help to build a relationship, which starts off sort of formal, but then and structured, but then goes into the natural rhythms of a relationship. And so mentors should expect to come to meet once a week at least for an hour. They should expect to be open and vulnerable themselves, right? We can't expect young people to share deepest parts of their lives without mentors being vulnerable and opening up themselves about their own challenges when they were young, or if they felt shame, or if they were embarrassed. And so mentors got to get a little bit vulnerable too. And they should also expect to keep the child's confidences. So you're not going to go and share everything. But we do, of course, teach our mentors and mentees that if you do reveal something that is, you know, about harm to yourself or to others, you know, mentors know that they have to come to the mentor coordinator and share that, or if they reveal any kind of abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And so mentors can be a bridge too, and they help us too with staff to kind of let us know, maybe look out for this, look out for that. And so we kind of create a village and around this young person, and there's more than one adult that's keeping an eye on them, which every child needs.
Mm-hmm. Karen, share some do's and don'ts for mentors and adult mentees.
So a great relationship, a great mentor relationship should ebb and flow, and the trust should increase over time. You know, it's not a best friend. That's not what it's set up to be, but it should ebb and flow, and that level of trust increase, so that if the mentor gives some constructive criticism, it's not received in a negative way. You know, it's received in a oh, I know they have my best interest at heart and they're trying to assist me. And then there should be learning on both sides, as I shared. You know, I have been learning from some of my younger mentees, and it's been a great reciprocal relationship. The other thing is to know when it's run its course. Sometimes people, you know, lives change. They, you know, leave the workforce, or they make different changes in their lives, and that, you know, they're not in the industry anymore, or they may not be in the workforce anymore. And so therefore they need to, you know, say, hey, I need to introduce you to someone else, or there's another woman that I really want you to talk to. And both people should be okay with that, you know, and understand that, like anything, sometimes it can be a lifelong relationship, and sometimes it could be just for a short period of time. It just depends on all of the circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any definite don'ts?
My definite don'ts would be to try to keep some boundaries. You know, as I said, it's not a best friend relationship. It is a learning relationship and a growth. It should be an experience where the person is growing. And so if you get to a place where you're not growing, you're not learning, then begin to think through, okay, well, I should be searching for a new mentor. And I can keep this person as a friend, and they're, you know, a wonderful person, but that mentor-mentee relationship may have to shift.
Hmm. From your perspective, Diane, some definite do's and don'ts for the mentor and the mentee.
Yeah, so I talked a little bit about the do's for the mentors, empathy, being open, being consistent, so, you know, showing up. The mentee as well, right? The mentee, sometimes we've got to stay on our mentees about showing up too, because if a mentor takes off work to come and see their mentee and the mentee doesn't show up, that's, you know, not something that someone's going to tolerate for very long. So,
yeah, that's a thing. let us say that is definitely a thing.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes there are legitimate reasons for that, and other times it's just about learning responsibility, right? And you've committed to this relationship, mentee, so, you know, you're going to need to show up, or you're going to need to call us or text us, you know. So we work through that. I think for mentors, too, like, don't expect this child to make to either be just like you ultimately. Like, don't try to form or shape them into something that you're comfortable with. Allow them to be who they are and just create that safe space for their expression of who they are. And don't be too prescriptive in the relationship. When we talk about share power, it's not always about the mentor showing up and say, okay, today we're going to do this. It is about both of them just talking, you know, what do you want to do next time you meet? What are you interested in? What can we share together? And I think the other is kind of what Karen was talking about with boundaries. Do have some boundaries. So in our program, we don't necessarily allow gift giving, except for like on a birthday. We want them to get to know the family, but there should be some boundaries too around, you know, your interactions with the family and understanding that you're a mentor and not necessarily there to fix or support with all of the types of challenges that may show up. And so sometimes we've got to work on some clear boundaries for the mentor and with the family and working with the family and the mentor.
But that sounds also like, in some cases, a difficult tightrope to walk, because if you enter into this mentor-mentee relationship as a mentor, and so you are obviously there to help, and the parent may see you as a resource for the child to offer some assistance. But as you mentioned in the very beginning, if the child has gone through some level of trauma, then it may be difficult for the parents not to see you as, dare I say, a savior for the child, and maybe even by extension, the family, if it's a single mother or a single father or something like that.
It absolutely can be a difficult type of. I've seen some relationships, some of our mentor-mentor relationships, where the mentor has become actually really embedded in the family, where they did help them with a lot of things. They helped them get new furniture. They helped when they were getting evicted. They helped to support if their, you know, gas or water was going off. And we very clearly talked with the mentor up front about setting some boundaries, because we do not want to set the expectation that our mentors have to get. But this is what that particular mentor chose to do, and it was a relationship that evolved over time. This didn't happen like in the first year. But there are other times where mentors don't have the capacity to do all that and kind of really just signed up to be a mentor for a kid. But families kind of ask them to do other things, like, can you come more than once a week? Can you watch my child for more than just 1 hour? Can you, you know, loan us some money? And sometimes those things come up, and mentors need to just have a pretty clear their own pretty clear set of boundaries. We as an organization have some organizational boundaries, but sometimes those relationships extend beyond the organization, because we ask for a year of mentoring, and sometimes we've got people who stay 2 and 3 and 4 years, which is great, which means they're going to develop a relationship with the family. So we're not here to prescribe so much what those boundaries should look like, but we do talk with the mentor so they understand. If you don't place some boundaries, you may end up being in a situation where you may not have the capacity to help, but you try to, and it could make the situation worse, or you could feel like you're letting people down, but you really just extended yourself in ways you weren't equipped to. So we encourage them to come back to us, that we would help get referrals if they need support in different ways. If they need, you know, more care or support for their child, we try to help in those ways. But it's tough for mentors because they usually come because they want to help.
Yeah.
And sometimes you got to understand where your help and capacity, what you can do, and where you have to bring in other people and try to get referrals for other support.
It is a responsibility, without a doubt, whether you're dealing with young people or you're dealing with adult mentoring, because in some ways, shape, or form, they are looking to you for help, inspiration, and motivation. Diane Booker and Karen Alston, thank you both for talking to us. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Sure thing.
Thank you. This has been great. Appreciate it.
That is
thank
the daily.
Mentors. Thank your mentor day.
That is the Daily Drum for this Thursday, January 26th, 2023. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.